Good morning from Kingston, New York, on June 7, 2021. This is Eric Francis Coppolino here with the last segment for now of the philosophy of astrology class. I'm sure I'll have more. There may be some of these that I want to rethink or redo, but for now, we have a good introduction, except for one thing that I want to focus the topic of, and that is this thing called divination. What is this about, and what do I mean when I say that in my experience and based on all the learning and studying that I've done, astrology is a divinatory art? So there remains the question of how there is a connection between the time of birth, the planets known at the time of birth, and something about the life of the person who the chart is for, or the event the chart represents. It comes down to the same thing. There's a time, however that time is arranged, it is random. In other words, unless you actually plan to do something, that's called electional astrology, and it's quite a, let's say, a boutique branch of astrology. Very, very few charts are electionals. Most charts are based on something that is a random event that's not planned, using astrology to plan it. And any time there is a random event that is then used as a potential source of meaning, that is divination. The event could be shaking up the coins for the I Ching, or throwing down yarrow sticks. The event could be drawing runes out of the bag. The event could be pulling tarot cards. The event could be a horary chart where you learn something and you want to know more about it, so you cast a chart for the time that you learned it, or the time that you formulated the question, or that the mailman knocked on the door, or it can be a birth chart. And in all of those instances, there is one common thread, which is that something random is being used as a source of meaning. And so if you look carefully at any theory that science can somehow vindicate astrology, you fall flat. There are a lot of reasons that you fall flat. Most of them have to do with the definition of science, which is not the only way to get at the truth. And as I said in one of the first audios, there's really two definitions of science. One is the formal scientific method, the hypothesis or working theory that's going to be investigated, the design of an experiment, then the doing of that experiment, and seeing the result, and either repeating the experiment or altering the hypothesis and the study design and doing the experiment again and seeing what result you get. And so astrology falls into the first definition of science, which is a systematic investigation and the gathering of knowledge around something. Many things do, but it does not meet the second one, which is the one where astrologers, doesn't seem so much like they're into this these days. They were much more in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s and even beyond that, looking for vindication by quote-unquote science, that there is some validity to astrology that can be established by the scientific method. Personally, I think this is a perfectly ridiculous activity because, first of all, why do we need science? Anyone who says to me that that astrology is unscientific because it hasn't been proven by science, I would say, has there been a study that proves that the Beatles made beautiful music? Well, it's probably never been studied. Or maybe it's been studied in some psychological context. I kind of doubt it. But would you need a scientific study proving that the Beatles made beautiful music before you accepted that the Beatles made beautiful music? astrology is very much the same thing. Now, when it comes to divination, this is a skill of its own that stands apart from astrology. And I believe that this skill needs to be practiced as apart from astrology, as its own discrete independent thing. The problem with much divination is that it can seem speculative, and there is a lack of certainty around the information that comes back most of the time. Generally, when there is uncertainty about the information coming back, there's either a problem with the question, or the person doing the work is not skilled and experienced enough, and also may be comfortable with a speculative approach, i.e. making assertions, but not really knowing if they're, well, you never know if they're true, but not fully being confident in the things being said. There's a lot of reasons for this. It could be lack of experience. It could be lack of trusting the method or the chart. And it could also be about overreaching and making assertions and claims that the particular divinatory art is not capable of supporting. And there is a truth that you can take any tarot spread or any chart and say anything about it. And because there is no research-based factual frame of reference to be able to prove the thing true other than eventual experience or perhaps some knowledge of history, then kind of anything goes. And this is problematic, and it is a good reason to avoid the divinatory arts in total in favor of an approach that lends itself less to false clarity. Now, all of that said, my job is to assist people in becoming skilled, competent, honest astrologers. And as part of that, I think it is helpful and vitally important to have a sense of what divination is. One of the examples I give to illustrate the feeling of divination is playing with one of those Spalding balls, kind of a hollow, basically your average rubber ball. And back in the days before Game Boys, kids would throw this against the stoop, back when there were stoops. Now there's not really stoops in most places, and there's not really rubber balls. And so I feel like I'm describing what a carriage step is. We still have carriage steps here in Kingston, that you carriage blocks, they're called. And I live in a very old part of the state where there's still little things you can scrape the horse shit off of your boots outside some of the doors. Of course, there's not very much horse manure. There's no horses around, and we don't use any of that stuff. But old game, throw the ball against the stoop and catch the ball. Now, we've all done this, right? You maybe hit the ground and then it bounces up against the wall, or you jam it right in between the stairs and you get it back. And so this is a fairly complicated thing that you're doing, because think of all the coordination that's required to throw the ball correctly, have it bounce correctly, and then you're going to anticipate where it goes and you're going to pluck it out of the air. You can do this over and over again. I imagine it would take quite a bit of work to train a computer to do this, perhaps randomly throw the thing down, but then to be able to see quickly enough where it's going to go to be able to grab it out of the air. That's the feeling of divination. The feeling of divination, when it connects, when it works, is not a haphazard or willy-nilly thing. It's not like you can chuck the ball against the steps and then have it bounce back and miss and still have that be the game that you are trying to play. When divination is working, what is happening is that there is a, let's say there is a send, you throw the ball, that's the equivalent of asking the question, and then it bounces, and then comes back to you, and you pluck it out of the air. That's the feeling of divination. And one of the things that I suggest that astrology students do is practice divination, another form of divination other than astrology. The reason I say that is because astrology is by far the most complicated form of divination, with the most variables and the most rules and the most, the variables are like all the planets, all the signs, all the houses, all the aspects, not to mention the major variable of the time of day. When you pull tarot cards out of the pack, you can pull one card and do a query. You can do a 3-card spread. You can go crazy and do a 10-card spread. You have a lot of options, including ones that make it exceedingly simple to do. With astrology, you don't really have that. With astrology, you're making you encounter all of these variables, and you have to have techniques for how to boil it down to what you need, what you want, to what's helpful. We're going to get to that in the second class about how to read your own natal chart. And really, any statement about astrology is a philosophical statement. But the idea that I'm expressing here is that astrology is a complicated form of divination, whereas there are simpler forms of divination that make it easier to connect you with a couple of things, one of which is the formulation of the question. And by the way, this is something that is rarely brought to astrology. It's sometimes brought to horary astrology. It really needs to be brought to horary astrology, but also the idea of bringing questions to the oracle, I think it would be a helpful and necessary part of doing natal astrology as well. What is it that you're seeking? Because astrology contains many variables, but the most important variable of them all is the intention of the querent. The intention of that is to say the person who is seeking the knowledge or the information or the person who is seeking the knowledge or information on behalf of the person who is doing so. And so astrology adds another variable. It's so complicated, you pretty much always need an astrologer, unless you're an astrology student, in which case it helps a lot to have some teachers. So before going full on into astrology, or if you're already there as a sideline, I suggest that the practice of divination is a little bit like throwing the ball against the stoop and catching it. And if you can do that, maybe you can play a more complicated game like softball, which has, in the case of softball, there would then be 10 players on the field and then opposing players, as many as get on base, always the batter, a couple of umpires, a whole bunch of rules and guidelines, not to mention some people watching. That's very different than chucking the ball and catching it. But the feeling of chucking the ball and catching it is the feeling of divination. And you want to get good enough at divination to ensure that you have not only the ability to catch the ball, but to know what it feels like to do so, and to know the difference in the feeling between missing and catching. Now, it is not always that clear, right? Either you catch the ball or you don't, or maybe you fumble it and you grab it again, or you fumble it and you grab it, but you miss it. But there's only so many variables. With astrology, you immediately enter this maze of possibilities. You're working with 12 signs overlaid by 12 houses, working with about as many planets. And so each little question you ask is its own inquiry into the random, seeking some information. And that information may support or refute the thesis, and then you have to practice what's called judicial astrology, which is weighing and balancing the facts as presented by the chart, comparing them to the question, and understanding what they might represent. This is extraordinarily complex, but it is what you do when you do astrology. And really, I'm amazed anyone wants to learn it at all. And what I am finding is actually that it really is way too complex for people to learn in the post-literate world. However, all of that said, the practice of divination, whether it is practiced reading tarot cards, practice reading runes, practice doing the I Ching, which is more of a personal, private method of divination. Generally, people don't do I Ching readings for other people, though they do tarot card readings and rune readings and angel card readings, is to learn to have the feeling of throwing, spotting, and catching so that you know what it feels like when your divination is connecting, and to stop yourself when you find, for example, that you are going over and above the information provided, or you're not genuinely on an intuitive train of thought. Now, here is another place entirely where divination departs from science. At least science as it's supposed to be practiced. Scientist is not supposed to contemplate a question and take their intuition as the answer. The intuition can serve as the hypothesis, the observation based on available data and an educated guess. This can serve as your starting point in science if you state your assertion in such a way that it is testable. So there is room for intuition in science. The least scientific part of the process at all is the beginning, the hypothesis, the educated guess, the testable theory. But then follows an entire method of investigating that and finally repeating it. One of the differences with divination is that it is legitimate to say that based on my intuition, looking at this spread, I make the following assertion when you may not be able to support that with the cards. Now, being a journalist, I think it's important to have the reference points in the cards or in the chart or in your knowledge of the hexagram or whatever it might be, the knowledge of the rune, such that you can explain your response. There's quite a few readers who are being intuitive, and then there's a great many more who are pretending to be intuitive, but using the understanding, the cultural understanding we all have that astrology and tarot and all this can be intuitive, but who knows if you really know what you're talking about. And so here is where honesty is vital and where it is important to know when you are on solid ground and when you are not. Now, I write horoscopes, and you could, certainly around the time I write it, but you could take any horoscope from any day or any week or any year, and we'll cast the chart for that day, the likely chart that I used, and I can explain to you more or less how I got to my observation. It is also possible to look at the chart and not know how you're getting to your observation, and having that be a relevant thing that resonates with people. Now, of course, when you're writing horoscopes, you have some thousands or tens of thousands or more people per sign reading each little divinatory statement, and so there is an element of the thing being self-proving, or at least self-demonstrating, right? Because, well, you know, who cares how you got the information? The column is good. And I would say you want to be careful with that, and that even in matters of a spiritual nature, It is important to know how you got from one thought to the next, how you are progressing from one idea to the next, and how it is that you made your conclusion or your statement. Now, in an interview that he gave a long time ago, my old friend Jonathan Kaner said, yes, you do the astrology, but then if you get a message for one of the signs that what he called, you know, purely intuitive, he said, go with that, right? If I'm writing along and following the logic and, you know, I've done, you know, the Scorpio reading and I looked at Mars and seeing Mars is going to be square to the moon. That's an easy one. And then I get up to Sagittarius and the message just comes to me. Well, I'm inclined to go with that. Part of why I'm inclined to go with that is I know how it feels to get that kind of, input, that kind of influence coming from some place that I can't quite describe, probably, you know, a readily accessible part of my consciousness. But I also know, well, when it feels true and when it doesn't feel true, when I am in some way overextending and when I am within range, whether or not I have the facts, whether or not I can justify it by the chart. Now, there are times when I don't think that I have the facts, and then I look back and I see, well, that planet's there and that planet's there. That's a perfectly logical thing to say. And, you know, my whole brain was looking at the chart, and maybe it just bypassed the part of me that thinks it's thinking, and the equation was solved and the information came to me. All of this, though, is about skill. It is about practice. And I think more than anything, I believe it is the Tao Te Ching, an ancient Chinese text, that says that that divination will be accurate when there is sincerity. That is to say, sincerity on the part of the person making the query, sincerity on the part of the person doing the divination, if a second party is involved, the question being a valid question, that is when you get good divination. But this is not a scientific process. No more than a scientist can prove that the Beatles made beautiful music, that would be a matter of opinion. Your grandma still may not like those guys who have long hair and yell, but someone else may like them, and no one's right and no one's wrong. And, just because they sell a billion record albums doesn't officially mean that they are objectively make beautiful music, but this is outside the reach of science. And when you study examples of when science has tried to prove or disprove astrology, you run into all kinds of weird and interesting situations. There are two that stand out, both from the 1970s, and one is called Star Baby. Star Baby was an attempt to disprove what's called the Gauquelin data. Now, the Gauquelin data, this French astrologer, is used as proof that astrology has validity because it found that there's a correspondence between people who are great athletes and people who have Mars either rising or on the 10th house cusp, either in the first, close to the ascendant, or the 10th, close to the midheaven and the house of achievement, the 10th house. First of all, what does that really prove? It shows something. Okay, that is interesting. But then there's questions about the accuracy of the birth data that's involved, since the first house cusp and the 10th house cusp move more quickly than any other factor in the chart. So there's a question there. And then Star Baby was an attempt to disprove this using manipulated data. So that should be in a basic astrology encyclopedia. The second is the New York suicide study from the 1970s, which could not find any correlation between people's birth charts and whether they committed suicide. Now, this is a terrible thing to study because it requires such careful evaluation. Why would we think that we're going to see something common in all of the charts when the very nature of astrology is that it's about studying the single case, the individual situation that cannot be repeated? The fact that it's about the individual situation that cannot be repeated takes it firmly out of the realm of what can be proven by the scientific method, because there is no cohort of you. We can't say, well, you have the moon in Sagittarius in the ninth house, and therefore you're likely to become a philosophy major or a travel agent. Okay, so we could clone you 1,000 times and then take the average and see out of those 1,000 times how often you became a travel agent. Or I guess a philosophy major, but we can't do that. There's only one of you. And so when we're talking about something that is unrepeatable, where there can't be an experiment used to confirm the previous experiment, and where everything is being made based on subjective choices, here is where we enter the realm of seeking knowledge through divination rather than seeking knowledge through science. And I would maintain that the thing that is the bottom line where the difference is concerned is that any form of divination is seeking information from that which is random. And it is that working with the random moment, that moment of reaching into the bag of runes, or that moment of choosing the card, that there is an opening that is created where intent is bypassed, and what feels like a deeper level of contact or acknowledgement of something is attained, because there is the momentary surrender of rationality every time one of those cards or runes is drawn. And here is where we enter the beauty of astrology, the beauty of divination, because it is what you can do when you have the freedom to interpret things in quite a wide way, and where you're not bound by the need to repeat yourself, to prove the experiment a second time, to move the whole experiment to France and do it again and see how it works. And then you move it to England and see how it works. This is the way you're supposed to verify science, but we don't have that. Astrology is completely out of the reach of these types of methods, which tell you something about the method. The official book for this class, which I haven't heard anyone's actually been reading, but who knows, maybe you are, is called The Moment of Astrology. And early in The Moment of Astrology, there is the chapter on the New York suicide study. Another chapter that establishes the divination thesis is when the wrong chart works, when you have conflicting data, but both charts tell you something similar. There is a marvelous chapter in The Moment of Astrology about the two conflicting birth charts of Diana, Princess of Wales, Princess Diana, both of which were able to, if you believe this, predict her wedding and her divorce. But the thing is, one of those charts has to be wrong. And so why should the wrong chart work? But there's not an astrologer alive who has not had the experience of the wrong chart working, meaning the chart that's not accurately timed being serviceable in reading and working with the customer. And some would say that's evidence of fraud. But you could also say, if the customer learns and appreciates the information, or in some way influences them, or they're able to make a decision based on it, and or even the uncovering of potential hidden information that's confirmed in real life. All of this is proof enough. You need no so-called science to prove that Strawberry Fields Forever is a beautiful and meaningful song. Probably, it'd be fun to publish a fake study like that. Okay, so I've covered a lot of ground in this series of classes. I'm going to temporarily set this aside. This particular series, I could go on. So I'm going to go on in the form of moving this to how to read your own birth chart and take a number of philosophical and divinatory approaches, as well as technique approaches to doing that. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.